Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today on the show, we're going to talk to a Chicago-based author on her debut memoir called Group, How One Therapist and a Circle of Strangers Saved My Life. And as Halloween approaches, we'll talk about the most haunting places to visit in Illinois, famous spooky sites that share stories of strange deaths and more. That's all coming up later this hour. But first, we're going to talk about the proposed graduated income tax constitutional amendment. We had a whole segment on this a few weeks ago and talked briefly about it yesterday in our interview with the governor. You can find both of those conversations on our website at 21stshow.org. But since this is the first question on the ballot this year, we wanted to have one more conversation about it. The short version is this is a proposed amendment to the Illinois Constitution. It would allow for the imposition of a graduated or progressive income tax structure where the more money people earn, the higher share of their income they would have to pay in taxes. It can pass in two ways, and this is important because I think that I might have mischaracterized this yesterday, but it needs 60% of the people who vote on that question or at least a majority of everyone who voted in the election to vote for it in order to pass. Joining us to talk about this are two people from groups on either side of the issue. Quentin Foulkes is chairman of the group Vote Yes for Fairness, which is obviously supporting this idea. Quentin, welcome back to the 21st.
Hi, thank you for having me, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Glad you're here. And we ask, and I should, maybe I'll start by saying, listeners, if you have questions about this, please give us a call. The number is 800-222-9455. That number again is 800-222-9455. If you have questions about the graduated income tax constitutional amendment that is on the ballot this year, again, the number to call is 800-222-9455. So, Quentin, when we had the governor on yesterday, we had asked listeners to send us questions. Amy in Ottawa texted us, and I should say we sort of ran out of time with the governor. There was so much COVID news to talk about, so we didn't get quite as in-depth of a conversation as we wanted to. But Amy in Ottawa texted us the question, why should Illinois voters support a graduated income tax proposal in the midst of economic uncertainty? And I wonder what your answer to that question is.
You know, my answer to that question, and it is a good question, is one, taking a look at why we're in this era of economic certainty. You know, Illinois had fiscal challenges long before COVID, and COVID-19 and the pandemic, as I'm sure the governor probably discussed with you, has really exacerbated that. But when we look at the reason why Illinois is in some of the fiscal problems that it is in, I want to level with voters, and I always try to be honest when I answer this question. There has been, you know, corruption in the political system here that has, you know, turned voters off from this. But at the end of the day, when you look at it, we're in this issue that we're in the state of Illinois simply because the state does not have the revenue that it needs to fund critical services. The state does not have the revenue that it needs to fund schools. When you look at the national average for funding of education, Illinois is around 25%, where the national average is around 50%. And that burden has fallen on property taxes and exacerbated. And so I also think that, you know, we are trying to bring in an additional $3 billion of revenue to help pay down the structural deficit that we have in the state of Illinois and put into our education system that will hopefully lower property taxes over time, so that we can continue to compete with the modern economy. This is the way that a majority of states approach taxation and the federal government. And then one more piece that I'd like to add to that is that when you look at some of the data, some of these numbers are astounding, but you know, there was a study that came out by the Institute of Taxation and Economic Policy that said over the last 20 years, the flat tax system has shifted the responsibility for paying $27 billion in taxes from the wealthiest 3% to those making under $250,000. Black and Hispanic taxpayers in Illinois who make under $250,000 paid $4 billion more in taxes over the last 20 years than they would have under a fair tax system, which lessens their overall standard of living. And so during that same period of time, the top 3% of Illinoisans have built their wealth by $7.5 billion in that same time frame. the taxes and fees that we have in the state are simply regressive, and they're punishing middle and lower income workers. So I would say if we had had a fair tax system in place, this is something that's been advocated for and pushed in the state of Illinois for the past 10 to 15 years. And we need to do it. This is our best shot. Now, obviously.
Okay. So let me jump in here, because we had hoped that this would be sort of a back and forth. And we have not been able to connect, although maybe we have now. Let me see. Larry Ivory, are you with us now?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't see it, but I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. It's Zoom. We're radio, so you can just stick with the audio only. Thank you for joining us. Larry Ivory is the CEO of the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce. We're also talking, listeners, with Quentin Folks, who's the chairman of the Vote Yes for Fairness group. I should say Larry Ivory with the Black Chamber of Commerce is part of the coalition to stop the proposed tax hike amendment. You know, Larry, I'm going to ask you, we've been talking with Quentin Folks while bringing you into the conversation. In the last month or so, we've received a lot of questions from our listeners on how this amendment would affect tax rates, both now and in the future. So let's listen to a clip. This is Jim from Danville.
I'm concerned about the legislation on raising taxes and that it leaves the door open to raise everyone's taxes whenever the legislature wants to. Is that true?
It's our biggest concern, quite frankly. And if people are being honest, I think the issue of trust is very important in this environment. And it's easy to say we're going to raise taxes on the wealthy and everybody's going to be okay. The reality of it is that even after raising taxes, there's still going to be a significant shortfall. Now, if my opponent says that you're still, you know, that's going to fix our problem and that's it, then I'd have to, you know, pull my hat down and say, okay, but that's not the case. We're going to have still a significant shortage. And unfortunately, the only way that Springfield has done anything thus far has been to raise taxes. You know, I tell people it's like a cousin who always borrows money, and he outlives more than he should, and then he comes back to the family to ask for more money. And that's what I feel Springfield has done. You know, they continue to put us in debt, come back to people, raise taxes. And the fact that even after this tax raise, we're going to ask for more money. We're going to have to ask for more money because we're still going to be billions of dollars short. And that's the reality. So if our opponent would be honest and say, look, we know we're going to have to come back and raise taxes, and we have an honest conversation, that there's no other way that we can do this. There's no other strategy that we have other than to come back and raise taxes, then that could be a meaningful conversation. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be significantly short. And I don't think they're going to, say that's going to be it. I think they're going to come back. And I think we've given them the window of opening to come back and at least have the least amount of political damage in terms of doing what they want to do from our perspective.
Okay, Quentin, what do you say to that? I mean, I think, you know, there have definitely been nonpartisan groups that have said that this is, you know, the amount of money that would be raised, even in the best of economic circumstances, by this constitutional amendment and the rate structure that the legislature passed would not be enough to meet Illinois' long-term needs. And now with the pandemic, the state is even billions of dollars more in lost revenue it's facing in the next couple of years. What do you say to that, Quentin Folks?
So I would say, one, that this does not give the legislature any additional power than they currently have. The legislature could go into session right now and raise taxes on everyone if they could. The only difference is if they did it now, they'd be raising taxes on everyone, including middle and lower income families. The fair tax allows us to impose higher rates on higher income earners and lower rates on lower income earners. But I would also ask voters to consider the fact that, you know, we have had a flat tax system in place in the state of Illinois, which has led to this problem for, you know, the past 30, 40 years. And so the fact that our opponents are saying, you know, the fair tax won't fix it all in 1 year, I think is a bit unfair. It did not take us, you know, 1 year to get into this problem. And nobody from my side is saying that the fair tax is going to fix this in 1 year. And so I don't think that that is a fair assessment. And in fact, I think that is a dangerous way to look at it, because we're simply kicking the can down the road And who knows what it's going to be if we don't take action. We have to do something because we have a problem in the state. And so I would ask voters to consider, you know, why the fact is that because they're saying we're not going to be able to fix this problem in 1 year, we shouldn't do anything at all. That's not the way government works. That's not the way a majority of things work. So I can't accept that as an answer for why we should just sit on our hands and do nothing.
Okay. Go ahead, Larry. You're trying to get in there.
Yeah, I think Quinton makes a good point, and I think he's a very talented guy, and he's doing exactly what he's been hired to do, is to make a case for what they continue to call a fair tax. When we call it a graduated tax, that's exactly what it is, it's a graduated tax. But he says, we don't think you're going to fix the problem overnight. We don't think that either. We're business people. We understand that we're not going to fix it overnight. We understand that this is going to take some work, but what we don't understand is that in the middle of a pandemic, where we're having the worst economic time with businesses and small business, and I know because as a leading voice of Black business in the state, I know how hard we're having it, how many businesses are suffering, and those who survived it, we're trying to keep them alive. And in the middle of this, we're saying let's raise taxes in the middle of a pandemic. And then the reality of it is when we raise taxes, you know, we don't even know where the money's going. It's not line item or anything else. It's a real legitimate concern. The savings that people are going to get, and I ask the listening audience to understand this. If you talk about the amount of money that you're going to save, and I estimate, you know, $50, $60, $70, but you're also going to give Springfield enormous ability to come back and raise taxes, which I think they have to do it because they don't have any other plan other than raise taxes. We want to have a real conversation about a real long-term strategic plan that gets us in a better position, not overnight, because what you're doing is, you know, something that you're doing right now. And we're saying, look, let's have a real conversation about what needs to be done, because we think there's things like workman's comp reform, pension reform, there's all kinds of things that we can do collectively together to put Illinois back on sound financial footing. The people and the voters did not get us in this position. This thing has been going on for years and years. And I don't think, even if you say we had a flat tax, that that's our problem. I think our problem is that we tend to overspend. We're not holding ourselves fiscally responsible. And we've created this problem, and don't blame it. And I think it's disingenuous to blame this on the flat tax. If we didn't have a flat tax, this problem would be solid. We'd be in a great financial position. I mean, that's just erroneous from any economic perspective.
Well, Brian, if I may, just, you know, one, if we had a fair tax system in place, we would have been raising it, you know, $3 billion more annually. So I'm not sure how that can be said that wouldn't fix the problem. And then the second piece is that I might be able to agree with Mr. Ivey, but the point here is that at least 97% of people, individual taxpayers, are going to get a tax cut from this, and 95% of businesses are going to get a tax cut from this. So I don't understand, you know, the logic of that this is hurting. And then again, another point that Mr. Ivey made is the fact that he said, when you look at it, how much somebody's going to save. He estimates $50, $60. That's the whole point. The people funding the opposition to the fair tax, they don't care about that amount of money because it doesn't mean anything to them. But to the average Illinois family, putting $60, $100 extra dollars in their pocket means something to them. And if you want to have a debate about how large of a tax cut the fair tax is going to have, then like we can have that. But at the end of the day, we can't not acknowledge that the fair tax is going to give a tax cut to 97% of Illinoisans, as Mr. Ivory just did. But the millionaires and billionaires who are ponying up to defeat this, that amount of money means nothing to them. And that it goes to the whole crux of our argument of why this is called the fair tax. It is not fair that a single mother working two jobs with children is making minimum wage and paying the same tax rate as a millionaire or billionaire or CEO hedge fund manager. That doesn't make any sense. And Mr. Ivory's point just now proves that.
And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. That is all the time we have. I do want to thank Larry Ivory, CEO of the Illinois State Black Chamber of Commerce, part of the opposition group, the Coalition to Stop the Proposed Tax Hike Amendment, and Quinton Folks, who's the chairman of Vote Yes for Fairness. Thank you for being here. Thank you for bearing with our technical snafus, to both you and to our listeners. More to come after a short break. You are listening to The 21st. We'll be right back.
the 21st is made possible in part by Busey. Whether you're just starting out or upgrading to your dream home, Busey can guide you every step of the way, because they know there's no place like home. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.